Welcome to Limitless with Lisa Z, a podcast about how to move from inspiration to action and bring our dreams to life. I'm Lisa Zahia, and each week I'll release two podcasts, one where I walk you through action steps about how to make your dreams a reality, with another podcast in which I interview amazing changemakers from all over the world. This podcast isn't just for listening. Take notes and take action. Let's ignite and change the world together. I'm so excited about today's episode. I got to interview my friend, Jennifer Pickering. Jennifer is the founder and executive director of Leaf Global Arts, which is based in Asheville, North Carolina, but serves places all over the world, connecting cultures and enriching lives through arts. So they do this through festivals, community events, arts education. I used to work for Leaf and was also on the board, and is a place very near and dear to my heart. Jennifer organized the first Lake Eden Arts Festival, which turned into the organization as it is today in 1995, and it has grown since then. So enjoy. Jennifer, I'm so excited. Tell me, this is always my first question. What inspired you today?
Today, I had a moment when I was waking up and I was jump roping, and usually I jump rope at night, and I was jump roping in the morning, and watching all the leaves. I live in a canopy of trees, and watching all the leaves, how they dance together as I was jump roping.
Oh, you know, I used to drive under a canopy of trees to high school, and I always thought, while I don't notice any individual tree, I would notice if the light changed.
I like that.
Yeah. What inspires you in general?
Culture. Anytime that I'm in a place or with people where the music or the decor or the conversations or the food have deep, rich traditions and you can feel it.
Awesome. What is a recent, and this will take us into what you have created, but what's a recent cultural experience or inspiration that you had?
As I walked in to Leaf Global today, somebody had taken Adama, who's from the Ivory Coast, somebody had taken his xylophone and put it in a location where it usually isn't. And the kids today at summer camp were definitely full of a lot of energy. So I set it up in a place where it doesn't usually sit. And just watching the kids migrate, they were a little tough on how they wanted to play the xylophone, but they didn't have any moment of hesitation of engaging with that instrument, with that moment, and watching how naturally they were able to take their wild energy and just focus it into that instrument in that moment.
So can you tell us, what's Leaf Global?
So Leaf Global Arts has been on a journey for the past almost 30 years now, and it came about from moving home to Black Mountain, North Carolina, at this significant and historically powerful place that's also very beautiful, Lake Eden, and realizing I had also just moved back to a place that felt really removed from a lot of the world. And so Leaf evolved out of those moments of moving back here and wanting to bring the world back into my life and into my home life. So Leaf Global Arts is experience and a nonprofit that works year-round, with the primary dedication being here in the Western North Carolina, Asheville, Black Mountain area, with arts education, cultural arts education programs on a daily and weekly basis. And then a couple of times a year, we have signature festivals and events where we bring artists from all over the world, mostly who are often underheard or underseen, but are very dedicated to their own country or traditions and holding those. And then we work year-round in several countries right now, 10 and about to expand to another, where we support culture keepers that are helping keeping their traditions alive in their communities. And again, this is very grassroots and creative resourcing, as we put it. But oftentimes, working with people and artists that are the fabric of the community, and they deserve to not only be recognized, but they have the ancient wisdom and traditions that it's beautiful to pass on to youth.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that I used to work there at LEAF as a teaching artist. So within this community, there's teaching artists who go in to different programs and work with youth and teach them. And then that is being replicated in these different countries, but it's specifically people who are keepers of the culture of that country, music, dance, things like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Culture keepers. And then here locally, it is artists like yourself who represent a culture or an art form and presenting it in a way that it's presented in a myriad of access points, both in the community as well as in schools and now at LEAF Global downtown Asheville as well.
So you said a lot of ands. Like you were like, we do this, which is like a space in downtown. We put on several festivals a year, this and this and this and this. How did it start? I mean, you talked about when it started, but like aspire for it to be this many things?
No, I wasn't necessarily on this path, but it started by somebody knocking on the door and saying I was going to buy their festival. And I said, well, I don't even go to festivals. And that started what I call my Little Red Riding Hood experience. And that started opening up a path where a poet in town, James Nave, and a musician, Carol Rifkin, that we started having conversations of what would it look like to create an event at Lake Eden that was an arts festival, and what would be our version of designing it. So essentially, we had a lot of beautiful conversations sitting around Asheville in various coffee shops and places. Malaprop's old coffee shop underneath the bookstore that no longer has it where it used to be, but still a fabulous bookstore. And we designed, if we were stepping into a space for the weekend out at Lake Eden, what would we want to explore that we oftentimes in our lives don't have either the time or the access or the curiosity? And so we looked first at what all was being presented in our local region at the time, which had a lot of artistic magic as part of it, but didn't necessarily resonate with all the community. So we created LEAF as a sampler. Mm-hmm. So at the time, we didn't really realize that we were even trailblazing in a lot of ways. It was instinctive. So we knew that we wanted the global music to be at the core. So as we designed it, anytime you would come to a LEAF event, that you would be able to step into anywhere from 30 plus global genres and cultures that took you around the world. And then also important to do that for your own backyard. We also were really clear that we wanted to create something that was for families, that was family friendly, that you would bring your babies, but you would also bring your grandma. So I was over 30 at the time, and I didn't want to create something that was a party scene for 20-year-olds. That, because there was enough of that. And that wasn't what I wanted to do because I had to sign my name on insurance papers. I did not want to be responsible for any of those decisions. And what I've learned over the years too is that people crave family traditions, but even if you're coming by yourself, that people are different when they're in spaces and places where the age is really a wide range of and has a lot of kids. People just are better behaved. Kids may not be, but the people are. Also, creating a really multicultural experience on a beautiful place. So that's kind of how the conversation started, was having those key components. So then we looked around the Western North Carolina area and said, okay, what are pieces right now? And so this was 1995, of what is core in the community here. And there were a few, obviously music was going to be a pinnacle piece, but with our blend of the cultural aspect to it. But then there were several pieces that weren't traditionally integrated with festivals. And so one of those being the Poetry Slam, which still to this day is now the longest running Poetry Slam run by the same slam master in the world. If we're not right on that, somebody call us, you know, on that for sure. But we're going on 30 years and well over 55 slams now. Even during COVID, we kept it going. Mm-hmm. And then healing arts was a big piece. And I know that's a huge part of your life as well. And that was a huge part of my life at the time, because I had gotten sick and recognizing if we're not healthy, it doesn't matter what else we have to do. Mm-hmm. Asheville has been a beacon, and Lake Eden specifically, in the early 1900s, Grove, who has the Grove Park Inn, had Lake Eden Retreat, an inn there that was a place where people would go for the healing waters. So we created a healing arts as part of it. And then later in the years, we added earth skills as well. Sierra Hollister added that. Then you would have your traditional arts and crafts and pieces that were more, you know, what would we call it, more expected within some type of festival environment. And several people told me in my first group of advisors I gathered, several people said, this won't work because festivals at the time were single genres and did not integrate all these other arts into them. And now you wouldn't be surprised to go to a festival and have healing arts or poetry as a core part. And dancing was another big piece for us.
Yeah, it feels vastly different than most festivals to me because it feels family friendly and it feels safe. And I also think the integration of like dance and visual modalities, like it feels experiential, and it's not just about being at a party.
Exactly. And another thing is we wanted to create in performances where the audience is almost part of the engagement. And so it's a small festival in terms of most numbers. So maximum for the bigger festivals, maximum 6,000 a day, 10,000 during the weekend, which is fairly small. And especially considering we work and create on over 300 acres and the whole place is over 700. So you've really got this amazing retreat place to go to that's, you know, hidden in the mountains a bit. But it also, in creating that interaction with the audience, of smaller engagement, lower stages, so that it's not just people sitting there nodding their heads. The other piece that I really wanted, which you have been a huge part in creating this, is bringing music that let people dance. Let people dance, let people sing. So not only are you taking them far away or even deep into our own backyard, you're also giving them the invitation to dance and to be free and to feel, be something I came up with a couple of years ago when a longtime leafer said, tell me, like, what is it? What is it? And I took a walk on train tracks. I was down in Atlanta and I came back in and I just said, I can't always wrap my words around what is leaf, but what I do know is that it brings out the best in the world, the best in human connections, and the best in ourselves. And it lets us be our best selves. It's one of those places and spaces that we can rise to being our best.
Yeah, and I think for everybody who's listening, you can look at the website, but it's such a special place geographically. Like, it's stunningly beautiful, but I love what you said about lower stages, and I've never noticed that there, but now I'm thinking about it, I noticed it. To see, like, a band from West Africa, or, like, the dancers from New Orleans, or whatever, but to feel, like, eye level with them, and then you see the people walking around, it's very different than seeing people on a big stage, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a different level of engagement. It's a different experience. And it frankly is also one of those things that makes it more challenging to share the narrative and to connect people to, because our audiences in general in America have been trained to have that differentiation between the artist and the audience. And also aren't used to going always to venues that kids are such an integrated part of the audience.
Right, at any point. So one of the things I've always thought about you is that there's like not a limit on possibility. Like, let's have 10,000 people at this festival. Let's, at the same time, fly 10 people and get their visas from Haiti or, like, anywhere that's challenging because of the U.S. government. And at the same time, like, we're going to put on this summer camp. Do you feel like, and from the beginning, we're going to start this festival. All right. What do you think allows you to think like that?
I have the gift of being raised with a really positive attitude that today is a good day. And to be really grateful to be here. And I have been empowered, and I instinctively, in my own optimism that often gets me in trouble, have the instinct to say yes. So yes can also get you in trouble. Thank goodness I'm married to someone who's a grounder. And what I've also recognized over the years is me saying yes has oftentimes caused other people challenges that they've risen to, thank God, but hasn't always been kind or fair, because yes, then I say yes, and then all of a sudden we're emailing or doing a Facebook post and trying to get 18 Nobe Bugle and Bri First Nations youth out of Costa Rica. The visas have gone crazy, and thank goodness the vice president at the time, who was female, happened to see this on Facebook somehow and came and helped create a miracle. But we have had, especially when you're talking about the LEAF International youth coming to Lake Eden and to Asheville, to the U.S., and it's always, always a transformational life experience for all of us who are creating it and for the kids. And there is not only a lot of yeses involved, but it's a lot of unusual puzzling. And truly, before COVID and before the process of creating got interrupted, it just was part of our natural flow. And then when COVID happened, and then we started putting all the puzzle pieces back together, it was like, this is crazy. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm so glad that I didn't think through too many things before I often said yes. And then the other piece has always been, of with a limited audience size on the property, which is limited by the property and the reality of like what feels right for that place. And LEAF is integral with Lake Eden as a visitor there, but it also has its roots there. And there's just reality pieces that we have to be cognitive of when you're taking care of land and space. So in the size limitation, what I didn't realize at the time when I started is how that would also limit regular sponsor dollars that normally come into events. And unfortunately, most of corporate dollars that are the large dollars, that they want numbers. They care most about numbers and less about cultural and really significant human positive impact. So that has made us really have to continue to do creative resourcing, and also makes us incredibly grateful to people who get it and who are members or donors.
Yeah, so once you say yes to something, I think this is such an interesting thing because not a lot of people do this, but I think it's great. Say yes, then figure it out. When you're figuring it out, what keeps you going? Instead of being like, oh, it's not going to happen. The kids can't come. We got to just make it smaller.
I'm just not wired like that.
Right.
And I was raised by the two primary people in my life, very, very different humans from very different places and spaces, but they had both had pretty rough beginnings in their life, and they were visionaries, and they never let an obstacle get in the way of them. So what keeps me going is those moments of magic, and we have created LEAF and the cadence and the flow yearly, where having 2 to 4 significant events, but then having the LEAF Schools and Streets and LEAF International programs year-round, you get these touch points of moments of magic that is like, oh, that is why I do what I do. That is what makes the world worthwhile to me. And a perfect example was this past May, Chinobe, who's from Uganda, and he started coming to LEAF, I think we figured out 21 years ago, because he was in Washington and doing concerts, and he kept on asking, why? I don't understand. I'm going to all these high-level, extraordinary venues and concerts, and I only see adults, and they're all sitting in their seats. Where are the children? And I'll ask people, and he said he would ask people from the stage, do you all have children? And most hands go up. And then he would say, do you want your children to know about the world? Do you want your children to know about music? All the hands go up. And then he would say, well, where are your children tonight? Or where are your children today? And a couple of people said to him, there's one festival down in North Carolina that we feel like you need to check out because you keep on asking where the children are and where families are. So he started coming, you know, punch in there 21 years ago, and then we've been part of each other's life, and he's come regularly to Leaf, and now Compass Advisor, board member, and he has been running a program called Dance of Hope in Uganda for the past many years that is an extraordinary transformative program with youth, and he really also empowers them to lead it. But this past May, we coincided with having 18 of the Dance of Hope youth and young people come to LEAF. At the same time, we brought 18 of our LEAF International Guatemalan kids and artists, and we ended up housing them together. Mm-hmm. And they were together for almost a week, very, very different cultures and different languages. At the end, the very last finale moment on stage, impromptu, they all came together and had created something together with their new friendships, with their shared music. And as we watched these young people who all have extraordinarily challenging pathways just to get to that moment, shine not only as leaders but also as artists, that you just look and you feel that and go, this is why we do what we do.
This podcast is brought to you by Coaching with Lisa Zahia, a business development company which provides strategy, coaching, and staffing support to mission-driven businesses. We help create bold and impactful businesses and to help the founders become the people who can do it. Curious about how to grow your business? Schedule a free consultation at www.chatwithlisaz.com. www.chatwithlisaz.com.
I have two favorite LEAF memories, which are very similar, and they're both sort of like adjacent to the festival. One was, I was teaching through LEAF at Deverview, which is public housing here in Asheville, and the kids, who I think a lot of people mistakenly assume as Latino, are Micronesian, which are the small islands in the South Pacific. And I was teaching them dance, and we would dance all the time, and they were such great dancers. And then one day they were like, oh yeah, we dance at home. And I was like, what kind of dance? And they were like, hula. And I was like, what? Show me. And they showed me and they taught me the hula, and it was so good. And they performed with me all over the place. But it was about, like, that's cultural exchange. Yes. They taught me. My second favorite was at the Black Mountain School for Children, which was probably one of the most profound teaching in my life, because it's a long-term foster care. And these kids were living there, and they, the dancers and musicians from Rwanda came and visited the program, but to see them both start to understand each other and like see each other move with each other. And I remember one of the staff members was like, this is the most important thing that's ever happened here. So I think when you think about it like that, saying yes is easy.
And that's a beautiful way to put it, of when you're talking about, I had forgotten that the kid, that one, the first group of kids, actually I think it was the second group of kids we had come from Rwanda, had gone to the Black Mountain Home for Children with you. Because at that same time, and I think you know this, but we also took them to the women's prison right across the street. And here are these two institutional pieces that face off together. And I've never thought about this because I'd forgotten about that piece of it, but I was telling the story this week of, it was Mother's Day, and we took it was about 12 kids that we had brought from Rwanda, and we took them into the women's prison, and they had us in the chapel. During this moment and during this Mother's Day event, it all of a sudden naturally arose in the conversations of, here are all these women, almost all mothers, who are without their children today. And here in almost all orphans, these young children from Rwanda are all here today who have lost and said goodbye to their mothers. And this thing happened between the mothers and the kids and the dancing and the music that I walked out of there that day. I was like, okay, I'm good. Like if I'm never able to do anything else again, I'm good. Like that was extraordinary. And as I start to reflect upon all these moments of magic and community and cultural exchanges and connections that we've done over the years, those moments that don't get recognized in the paper, the stories don't get told. However, they plant beautiful seeds in people's lives of how they grow and how they see the world and connect to other people. And there was one time years ago, right from where we're sitting in West Asheville right now, a powerful day down on Depot Street and at Mr. Green's, where it was one of the first easel rider events, and we did a one mic experience down there as well. And watching the connection of the community step into a space where a lot of people had never stepped into before. And Mr. Green had been such a pivotal person in the community, and he passed fairly recently after that event happened. And so it was really a reminder to walk around the street, walk around the street corners, see who all is in your neighborhood, who all is in your community, and where may lie natural, easy bridges of connection through, and music and arts are just, and dance are those easy, easy gateways that then can lead to conversations, but start a moment of connection that can change your life.
Absolutely. I think that it's interesting, and I'm curious about your experiences with this, that oftentimes when I've been in things like this, or like people have transformative experiences in my spaces, they're like, you did it. And I'm like, I didn't do it. I'm just here facilitating it or being a vessel for it. So what do you do when people are like, you created that?
Well, number one, I'm very clear that I'm only able to create, I might have an idea. Your idea is only as good as the people you surround yourself by. All those programs that you did in Deaverview, I had that idea because one of my godchildren used to live in Deaverview, and I saw the lack of arts and any type of engagement that they had in that community. So fast forward 10, 15 years when you're in there teaching, that I'm only as good as you are as a teacher, as Miss Muhammad was as the coordinator of the, you know, of the community, as the leaders of HACA for housing were, as our partner with Children First Communities and Schools was. So it's really a web, which is kind of interesting to think about, because we have a Cherokee grandmother spider as our symbol for this coming fall, which, you know, I've never been a fan of spiders, but as I start to think about like how we weave these webs of life, mm-hmm. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, so you're like just a, I'm like, you're happily a piece of the puzzle.
I am happily a piece of the puzzle, and it's always interesting because people will come to me in that. And so it's a fine balance too of making sure that you have enough cultural and capital in terms of people trusting you. So at the end of the day, that's one thing, like Lisa, you and I both, we will show up. But people know over many, many years, they can count on us. If I don't see you for the next 5 years and something's going on in the world, let's say that, you know, I'm lost in Egypt and have to eject from my camel, I can call you and you're going to figure out how to come and be by my side or send somebody by my side.
Of course.
And that's what those, you know, we all have our different values for how we show up in the world. And I think being part of the puzzle and having the idea to the puzzle, I don't know how to put together most of the puzzle, but I can catalyze and I can encourage and I can show up.
Are there other core values that you think about or like work on keeping, honoring, bringing to the forefront in yourself that help with everything you've done?
Always. A very, very much of a core value of appreciating others. and being willing to step into spaces and places. And that shows up in so many different ways in the American society versus the global society right now. But having that conversation and framing it, whether you're calling it DEI, whether you're calling it equity, whether you're calling it social justice, racial justice, and just knowing how important it is that regardless of what you look like and where you come from, that you have something extraordinary to give to the world. That is something I'm always also working on, because the languaging, and we're on a podcast, but I am, you know, in my late 50s and I happen to be in this white body. That gives me a lot of doors that I can step through.
Yeah.
And being aware of those pieces. So in terms of a value, very much valuing kindness, openness, and whatever lens and name you want to put on it right now, but basically of non-racism, you know? And I get challenged every once in a while too. Like when you are challenging people to be open and to step in to spaces and places or with cultures that aren't necessarily part of their dynamics. And I had it happen this past Sunday of walking into a space that was very different than a space and place I usually walk into, and just like, okay, like let's stay curious and open. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of magic in most places, but there is also a real appreciation that continues to grow for me of land. And especially living in a place that is being more developed. It was fun to go to cities and be in a city. As our area has become more developed, the appreciation of driving past fields still that still have horses in them, still have hay in them. A lot of those old school jobs and traditions that aren't necessarily being passed on, or to go to countries. I had gone to Morocco and then to Scotland, which are two very different cultures, however, have a lot of similar peacefulness with them. We accidentally ended up staying on a farm one night, and my room was really close to where the cows stayed. And so laying there in the bed, I actually could hear the cows breathing. It was so funny, as I realized I grew up in the country, but I've never laid and listened to a cow breathing. And I had no idea I love cows. They're so curious.
Yeah.
So it was one of those just stepping into different spaces. So in terms of values, being kind is a huge one for me. Mm-hmm. Don't be mean. Don't be a racist. Stay curious. And also appreciate your environment.
I love it. What makes you feel awe?
Truly, that moment I talked about with the kids from Uganda and Tanzania coming. Those moments, whenever, and it tends to happen when there's at least two or three different groups of young people from different cultures when they come together, that makes me feel awe. I felt the same thing when a group of the kids from Haiti came, and they were in their 20s, and they were doing the one mic with a group of the kids from Tanzania and a group of kids from Asheville. And the collaboration of cultures makes me feel awe.
I mean, that's also the like extension of travel. Feel awe when we travel, but then to see the different cultures come together. When was the last time you felt joy?
The moment I woke up this morning. Mm. And I feel it almost every morning. And I have four windows and they look out to the trees. And each of my four windows now has four people that have been pinnacle in my life, that every morning I say hello to and think, what would they do today? But I wake up every morning filled with joy.
I love it. Jennifer, what's next for you?
That's a really great question 2 days after my birthday. And I think there's several pieces of really working on how to pass forward and deepen the roots at LEAF Global Arts so that other people have the platform to make it theirs and to create, but also to make sure that it's sustainable. And I still want to be engaged, and I really want to be engaged more and more. I love the members and the longtime artists and people. I like the relational pieces of connection and wherever I am in the world. So I really am also dedicated to taking all of these moments of significance and magic that we've created over the past 30 years, and how do we create a platform that is more sustainable, deeper impact, and creating more invitation to people to step in and participate or find their leaf, find their joy, find their pathways, and creating more and more possibilities for artists that hold their culture and culture keepers to be able to share that with audiences. So that's one big piece. Another big piece has been at Lake Eden Retreat, which is where I grew up and I live, is transforming that and elevating that to a next place, because it's always been a place of gathering for families, from groups, for individual artists, for people to come and create from all over the world. And so holding that space and letting it grow, I'm looking at who do we collaborate with or co-conspire with, and how do we do that? Marketing's never been one of my strong suits or superpowers. So I look forward to finding how to share not only our story, but our possibilities and how they are an invitation to families and artists and people to step in new ways.
Amazing. Sounds like a lot to say yes to.
Well, I'm grateful to have the time to say yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Very inspired. And we will put the dates of the retreat and the festival and all the ways people can learn more about LEAF in the show notes. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thank you for being extraordinary.
That's it, folks. Another amazing episode of Limitless with Lisa Z. I am inspired and want to give you the homework. Take some notes, take action, do one thing today that can move you towards your dreams. Got feedback? Let us know. You can write to us at lisa@lisazahia.com or visit us online at lisazahia.com.